Father, as we once again get to open your word and hopefully our hearts and connect with you and know you better because you are always here waiting for us and wanting to have fellowship with us. Help us to have that same desire to know you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us to recognize that your kingdom is real and that we are your subjects and help us to be even more loyal to you, Lord Jesus, than all of those people waiting 22 hours to see the Queen right now and just to see her box that her body's in. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we can eagerly seek after you, knowing that you are alive and that you are willing to spend time with us and to love on us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Today's message is from Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 34. That's on page 1533 in the Pew Bible. And it's Jesus is continuing to describe the kingdom. And as Jesus gives kingdom descriptions, sometimes you kind of wonder, okay, where does this stuff come from? Well, I would suspect that if Jesus were up in Skykomish right now, he would find some illustrations, some parables that relate to the Bolt Creek fire. He would probably talk about how one little spark can make a pretty massive event. And today he describes a little teeny seed can grow a bush big enough for trees to take shade in or nest in. And so as he was going along, he talked about things that the people around him were familiar with and knew about. And his stories and his parables just were down to earth and real and relaxed. And I think most of us, as we walk around, we see things around us and we think there's probably some significance there. But if we just listen to Holy Spirit, he might help us connect the dots and know, you know, how does this connect? I'm sure there's an illustration, a scripture illustration, a theological illustration for that tree that was burning from the center out. You know, it's kind of it's a remarkable thing to look at. How does something like that happen? You know, the outside of the tree wasn't singed, and yet there was fire and flame inside of it. How many of us have that flame in us, and we just don't know what to do with it, and it's burning, and it's, you know, flame can be a good thing. It's not always negative. So when Jesus was describing, he mentioned things about planting and seeds, a few different stories here already. Couple of them earlier and then the one today in Mark. And I love that in Mark, we're told that Jesus told a lot of other parables too. We don't get to hear all of them. In John, it says if we knew everything that Jesus had said and done while he was on earth, there wouldn't be room in the world, in the earth, for all of the books that would have to contain that. It's crazy remarkable that we get a snippet, but we get all the important parts. There's nothing left out that we need to know. And the description that Jesus gives of his kingdom, I think, is important because we want to be kingdom people. If we recognize that we are subjects in the kingdom of God and that he chose us, he doesn't deny us anything. He wants to care for us and love us and he's preparing a place for us. All of those things in the kingdom, we are significant. Not because we're anything special, but because our king is very special. And he's accepted us into his family. We are royalty. I think sometimes when we look at the royalty, you know, in the newspaper, they're trying to find out why are they all fighting with each other. And, you know, getting them to come up with division. And yet, there's probably a lot more commonality that they have than we even get to see. I think that the media just likes to stir up strife. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to accept that in any form. Even this morning, as Kathy and I were praying before church started, and someone came to our mind that both of us have had difficulties with, and my heart, my prayer, is that I never have any roots of bitterness towards this person. And my prayer is that person's heart will be as soft towards God as mine is. And that we can have hearts that are soft towards one another. There's no reason for division. no matter how bad somebody's been to you. We've been just as bad or worse to God, and he loves us anyway. So let's talk about kingdom. Again, Jesus said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Little mustard seed can grow a bush that's like, 12 feet wide. Some of us, we think, okay, rhododendrons, if you see a tame rhododendron in somebody's yard, it doesn't look like much. But if you've ever seen one that just decided it wanted to take off and it's become a tree, rhododendron trees, down in Point Defiance Park, there's a little section in the forest, and they've got the big Doug fir, 200 or 300 foot tall Douglas fir trees there. These rhododendrons are trying to compete with those Douglas fir trees, and you can see them. They're 50, 60, 70 feet up in the air, just taking off like that. And you know, the way that God's economy works, we look at little things can become huge. It started out with just a few disciples. And if you look around the earth now, there's Christian churches in every nation. Even those that are closed to religion, that aren't supposed to allow religion, God is growing his church in those places. He's the one that builds his church. It's not us. And so it's kind of exciting to see. You got this little thing for a beginning, and it can become something really huge. And it's something that's nurturing. It's something that brings life and comfort and peace to the birds and the others around. These in this illustration, the largest of all garden plants, such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. The next two verses, with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. I love that. Now, he told lots of different parables. This particular parable, I'm sure, was told more than once. And it's recorded in Matthew. It's recorded in Luke. And then both Matthew and Luke recorded another one that he kind of threw in with this one. So when Mark says there were other parables, we have at least one example of some of those other parables. And we'll take a chance and look at that a little bit. But shared things with the people that were listening. And how many times have we read, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear? He told them as much as they could understand. If I was going to try to teach Cyprus about the world and about God and about life, he's got a limited ability to understand things, but he can understand some things. Mm-hmm. How old is Cyprus now? Yeah, he's not quite a year, but he's vibrant and fun to be with, and he's learning and growing, and you share as much as he can understand, and when he's ready for more, you share more. And as he gets older and older, hopefully, most of us have moved beyond that infant stage, and we can understand greater things. And it's just beautiful that God is willing to share with us as much as we can understand. So if we really key into understanding him, he's not done. There's more. There's another level. There's more depth. And that would continue. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So when he's talking with the crowds, he was just basically, he knew that if he had just straight out told them everything I'm God. I came from heaven, and I am fully human, and I'm fully God. And if he starts trying to go through all of the stuff that some churches force you to believe before you can sign on the dotted line and join them, it would have just freaked a lot of people out. It's like, how is that even possible? We don't understand, and they'd walk away. But he's telling them parables, and he's telling them stories, and he's drawing them in, and as they understood, he would share even more. And people were drawn to him. Crowds were coming to him. But when he was alone with his own disciples, with his little small group, he explained everything. And that's part of why we have scriptures, because as he explained everything to them and Holy Spirit continued to remind them of everything that he taught them, they were able to document it and write it down. And so we have scripture written for us. In Matthew chapter 13, this same little section, but from a different author, He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. So when Mark said, and then there were other parables that he told them, here's one of them. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. So you get your little starter and you mix it in. You have 60 pounds of flour, that's a lot of flour. I'm guessing that this woman was planning on making more than one loaf of bread. That's the whole parable. It's like, okay, that's interesting. But it said he told many other parables that were like this. So I don't know what the next one was. And I think our minds can start trying to guess, okay, how else did something that was insignificant and small become something significant and useful and large and something that serves? You know, I think when we realize that oftentimes just someone's idea that they have, Benjamin Franklin thought about fire departments, he thought about libraries, he thought about a lot of different things, and then out of those thoughts came some pretty large dreams that came to fruition. Others joined in with those thoughts and it kind of grew. And so we have a lot of infrastructure. It's like, okay, somebody wants to tame the wilderness. Well, what does that mean? You know, for some people it means they're ruining it and just leave it alone. That's why we've got all these wilderness areas that are protected. And there's kind of a fight back on a lot of the taming didn't really improve anything. So, you know, we've got to be careful what we're doing. But as we think through what a small thought can become something big and beautiful. I think, you know, John, you've thought a little bit about a particular place where something could be improved, like down in Milltown. And it could be big and beautiful for the whole community. Now, if a few other people latch on to that dream, that could become a reality. But oftentimes what happens starts with just a little thought. Colleges and universities, all those things, that they didn't just happen. Someone thought of it, and from the small beginnings, insignificant beginnings, it grows. I went to a little college in Tacoma, Evergreen State College. It was just a tiny little campus. In fact, when it was first thought of, Dr. Maxine Mims was meeting in her kitchen with three or four other students, and her thought, her dream was, I want to create a place that's safe for people that really can't get to a regular college. And so she did everything she could, and she considered this is for place-bound people, and she's going to come up with a way to bring education to adults that couldn't otherwise find a way to get to a college. They were working full-time. They were single moms. They were whatever, you know. And then by the time I went there, it was meeting in a storefront in Tacoma on K Street, which is now Martin Luther King Way, across the street from a bar that was pretty much dealing drugs 24/7, and we could watch them. And, you know, it was just a great place to hang out. And there were a lot of place-bound students, and I was one of two white males there. And the rest of the individuals, a lot of them were second career, you know, ex-military, you know, big black guys, and it was a beautiful place to hang out and a fun place to be. And it was from her little dream that she had that started in this kitchen, but instead of just leaving it in the kitchen and her teaching a few ladies, she connected with Evergreen State College and made it a branch campus. And then it became what it was in that little storefront, and now it's even grown to a much larger facility. And there's, you know, ways that people have a thought and they follow through on that, and it builds into something bigger and better.
Well, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is like that. It's like it started out with, you know, Jesus comes as a baby, and then he grows, and as a 12-year-old, he's kind of just ditching his parents for a while and hanging out with the rabbis at the temple, and he's listening to them, but he's also asking questions and showing them that he has more understanding than any 12-year-old should ever have. And they're remarking at how much he knows and how
wonderful his knowledge is, and then the parents come back and find him and take him home again. So then we don't hear about him again in scripture as far as until he's about 30. And he starts his ministry, and John the Baptizer comes down, and all this stuff starts happening. But just from a very small little town in the beginning, and it starts growing, and then there's disciples, and then they tell other people, and it grows and grows and grows. And now, how many hundreds of thousands, millions of people have heard the gospel, have had their lives changed from this little seed that started growing? There's so many other ways that we can imagine. As Jesus is telling these parables, he's explaining to the crowds, this is kind of what the kingdom of God is like. Here's something you might understand. You plant a seed, it grows, it becomes something bigger. Or here's something you might understand with the story he told before you. There was a farmer and he spread seed all around, and some of the seed didn't grow because it was on rocky soil, and some didn't grow because it was being choked out by weeds, and some of it didn't, you know, and he went through all of this, and then he explained it to his disciples, and it shows in scripture how he explained it. Yeah, well, the seed was the word, and it's the cares of this world that choke things away so that we don't really get the word to permeate in our hearts and to change us. And yet sometimes there's good soil, and that soil produces fruit that, you know, 30, 60, 100 fold. And so there's all of these stories that Jesus is telling, and the disciples are sort of getting it, but waiting for the real explanation. And the people that were listening in the crowds, they're like, yeah, this is interesting. I want to hear more. And so they come back the next time Jesus is coming by the lake or whatever. They hear, hey, he's out there again. Let's go see what's he doing. You know, by the way, he might end up healing quite a few people while he's at it. You know, a lot of times that's why they would show up. They heard about, you know, so-and-so's cousin was lame and couldn't walk. And then they met this guy named Jesus. And now he's walking. And this is a real person. This is a real story. You know, this isn't something that somebody made up and put on Twitter. This is real. And so it's kind of, we think about Jesus and how he's going through his ministry years here. And this little beginning, even when Jesus was placed on the cross and died, and scripture talks in another place about, well, if the seed doesn't die, then it really can't produce. And Jesus demonstrated that for us, and he died and produced much fruit. And so we look at these parables, these stories, and it's like, okay, I think we can even have greater understanding than his disciples did, because we can look back on this is how it really happened. Oftentimes, the people that were getting prophecy, the people that were getting teaching in scripture, they never got to see the final outcome. We won't know the total final outcome till we meet Jesus and find out there's people from every tribe and every nation joining together and singing praise to him, and we're all hand in hand and nobody's fighting with each other. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. In Luke, in chapter 13, Dr. Luke tells us, then Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. Again, he asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. So Dr. Luke has interviewed a lot of people, and he's hearing these stories too, and he writes these two down in a little grouping. I think, you know, the people can look at this, and I know some scientists will start arguing with you. It's like, well, you know, mustard seed's not the smallest seed. I can show you lots of smaller seeds, and then they can get into a, you know, nitpicky thing and miss the point. The point is something really little and insignificant can become something big and something that serves and something that helps. So, later in Luke chapter 17, Dr. Luke tells us, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied. Now, remember the Pharisees? Okay, those characters that were always following Jesus around and trying to trip him up. And, you know, he's been talking to, you know, they've been hearing all these parables. The kingdom of God is like this and this and this. And they're listening to it. And now they're like, yeah, right. Okay, so, and can you imagine if Jesus was still out talking and sharing parables right now, how many of us would go to him? It's like, okay, but when are you really coming back? You know, you said you're coming back soon, and it's been a couple thousand years.
Of course, he might explain to you that to him a thousand years is like a day, so time isn't that important. What is important is that we know that what he says is true. So the Pharisees, these guys are trying to trip him up, they ask him when the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's like, yeah, I'm already here. Do we worship that king? I mean, I was amazed when I read this week that the queue, the line for going to view the coffin of the queen. They don't even get to see the queen's body. It's like there's a closed coffin. They're going to walk past this box. They might get a few seconds to walk past it. And the line for that is 22 hours waiting time. They've had to set up, you know, watering stations and bathrooms and all this stuff. It's a whole deal. There's an industry around the line for waiting to see the queen's box. And we have a king that's alive and wants to have time with us. Are we willing to spend a few hours to get in a queue and meet him? I mean, we don't even have to wait in line. It's like when Fred Meyer used to actually serve their customers. I remember the good old days. It's like, okay, there's no waiting on aisle 5. And there would always be enough checkers that I never saw a line of more than one or two people. This was back when Fred was still alive, before it got sold to Kroger. Kroger has ruined that store. Sorry. You don't have to be embarrassed. Everyone knows the truth. They even got so bad, it's like, okay, now they've set up on each side of all the check stands, there's these places they call them self-check. Yeah, do it yourself. You know, and the last couple times I've been in there, you got to wait in line for the self-check. Okay. You can't even have enough self-check for everybody? Come on. Something wrong with this picture. Anyway, but you get back to the kingdom of God stuff, and it's like you're not going to find it. It's not like you say, oh, here it is, there it is. You know, because it's in your midst. And if we understood that we serve a great king. The United Kingdom, it's just a little thing. It's a bunch of little islands and, you know, some other places that they've kind of, you know, claimed Canada, you know, stuff like that. But
just little things.
Yeah, little things. But the kingdom of God is universal, and he's not pushing anyone out, and he's not taking it by force. He's just king. And there's a bunch of other kings and stuff, but it says he's the king of all the kings. And he's the Lord of all the lords. And he does it in a kind and gentle way. We get to be part of that kingdom. In Matthew 6, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? People were running around. It's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to wear. I don't know what to eat or drink. Don't bother with all that. For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. It's like, and he says he's going to give us what we need even before we ask. I love that. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It does. Thank you, Jesus, that your kingdom is everlasting, that your kingdom will never end, and that your kingdom is open to all. I pray that we can demonstrate your love and draw people to you in ways that the little seed becomes something really large and really meaningful, and something that brings service to those around us. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen.